This podcast is brought to you by Operation Christmas Crap. As we enjoy the Christmas season, take time to remember the children around the world who are in need. There's still time for you, your family, and your church to take part in Operation Christmas Crap. That's right. All you have to do is take an ordinary shoebox and fill it with a bunch of crap that makes you feel good but really doesn't help anyone living in extreme poverty. Once your shoebox is full, you pay to ship the box to one of our distribution centers, where we pay to send it around the globe. Eventually, we're not sure when, it will arrive in the hands of some deserving child, we're not sure where, who will open the box, look inside at the Pokemon cards and dollar store rejects, and wonder, what the hell is this crap? You may wonder, is this really a good use of money? Wouldn't the expense of sending a shoebox around the globe be better spent giving it that money to an international aid group or a micro-lending organization which directly helps impoverished people? You may ask yourself, is the fossil fuel required to send non-biodegradable plastic crap to the other side of the globe really good for the environment? Doesn't climate change hurt those who are most impoverished at a much greater level than people living in developed countries? You may have second thoughts about supporting an organization whose founder blindly supports the Trump administration's many crimes. It regularly makes the most offensive comments about Islam and generally does more to turn people away from Christianity due to his vitriolic, judgmental behavior than anyone else in the public eye. You might even inquire whether someone who foments religious hatred while trading on his father's famous name might cause more harm to children in places where there is religious violence between tribal groups of different religions than a shoebox full of crap could ever possibly fix. To all these questions and more, we say, don't worry about it, because all that really matters this Christmas is that you get to feel like you are helping a child in need somewhere in the world, and you don't have to think about bigger questions regarding the climate crisis, wasteful Christian missionary groups, terrible foreign policy decisions of your own government, and most of all, you don't have to worry your mind about religious bigots who use the name of Christ to advance their own personal agendas. Feel good about yourself this Christmas. It's not too late to support Operation Christmas Crap. Send your shoebox full of crap in today. Hey, Save Me Podcast listeners, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to any non-Christian listeners who happen to have found this podcast for some reason. I hope you are plugging into whatever it is that just saves you this time of year. Take a few days off, spend it with family, stream some shows, eat some junk food, watch some football, do some yoga, imbibe the alcohol responsibly, do it with joy. And without the voices in your head nagging you and trying to convince you only their negative point of view is, in fact, reality. Pass the talking stick to the more positive voices in your head. The depressive, self-critical ones have had their say all year long. Find some joy. Curl up next to the fire and do whatever you need to do in order to make it through the darkness of this pandemic winter. I appreciate you taking this journey with me this year on this podcast with all of its fits and starts. I have a lot of fear and anxiety about my road ahead, because I have no idea what is coming next, but despite all the pain of this year, I'm working hard to focus on what it is I have to be thankful for. Even before the pandemic became real, I was forced out of a church I'd served for 7.5 years and lied to by some people whom I had ministered to and trusted and thought we shared something real. Yet despite all that pain, I landed in an interim minister gig for another church that has allowed me not only to pay the bills, but also to heal a bit and have some time in a healthier church system, where I can gain some perspective on my unhealthy part in a very unhealthy church system that I had been in. Despite a pandemic, unlike so many, I have a paycheck, and my family and I have remained healthy. I still remember on the day that I about broke my back, having to move everything out of my office in 24 hours. I sat at my dining room table with my family and we held hands. And through tears, we looked at one another. And I said that if we had each other, everything was going to be okay. And that has been true this year. And so I'm grateful. Life in my family, in my broader world, is not perfect, but there's a lot of grace out there. And so I hope whatever you are struggling with this holiday season, you are finding grace and love and joy as well. I still don't really know who I am at this point in my life, what I am, or how any of this is going to end up for me, but I'm working hard just trying to live as if it all makes sense anyway, to spare myself as much self-induced suffering as is possible. Know that if you're listening to this, I'm grateful to you, whoever you are, whyever you're listening. This Christmas, I'm trying to focus hard on the idea of the love of God somehow mysteriously revealed in these stories we tell each other this time of year, more than nostalgia, commercialism, or a misguided allegiance to a white Jesus who supports American greed and oppression. I'm trying to look beyond all that, to remember that the angels declared peace on earth and goodwill towards all people. And in spite of how bizarre that must have sounded back then, to a world crushed under the heel of an authoritarian empire that exploited the poor and declared itself to be God, it was somehow true. In the same way, that declaration of peace and goodwill is still mysteriously true in our world. And as much as American Christianity gets it so damn wrong, that message of peace and goodwill is still somehow true. In this episode, I'm sharing something I've written. I'm a little proud of it. I liked how it turned out. It's about hope, and I hope it's meaningful for you because it's about ghost stories at Christmas time. Don't forget to like the Save Me Podcast Facebook page. You can follow it on Twitter at Save Me Podcast 1, and you can listen to it on iTunes, Spotify, or on my site at anchor.fm and a bunch of other ones I can't remember. If you'd like to support this podcast financially, I'd say first, give a generous tip to somebody working a low-wage job over the holidays. And then if you have cash left over, you can sponsor the show by going to anchor.fm/save-me-podcast and clicking sponsor. Most of all, you can share this podcast with anybody else you think can handle it. Also, please rate and review this podcast on your podcast platform of choice. And apparently that helps people find this podcast. Just a reminder in case you needed it. I don't know much about much. So if you're listening to this podcast, hoping you'll find somebody to save you, don't look at me. I'm still looking for somebody to save me too. This is something I wrote. I have entitled Ghost Stories at Christmas Time. My wife loves Christmas music. Ever since a local radio station began playing Christmas songs 24/7 in early November here in Kansas City, the stereo in our den has been blasting Yuletide carols. For weeks now, I've been puzzling over a line from It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, which says that along with parties, roasting marshmallows, and caroling, there'll be scary ghost stories. Scary ghost stories. At Christmas time? I should have realized Christmas time is an appropriate time for ghosts, I guess, since my wife's favorite book is Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And so we have watched every adaptation of this beloved Christmas classic, the black and white version, the George C. Scott version, the Muppet version, and the one I've learned is the best of all, the animated version with Jim Carrey. And thanks to her, I've actually sat down and read the book. This beloved classic is filled with ghosts. And instead of relying on the adaptations that only tell us about Jacob Marley and the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, If you read the book, you discover ghosts are everywhere in this world Dickens creates. If you're only relying on the movie or one of its adaptations, you miss what I think is the most terrifying scene in the whole story. The ghost of Scrooge's friend and business partner, Jacob Marley, explains to him that he is doomed in his afterlife to walk the earth fettered in chains, attached to his accounting ledgers. Because he loved money more than people, he must forever wander the earth, seeing the suffering of humanity, but be unable to help them. As if this wasn't bad enough, the ghost leads Scrooge to the window. Through it, Scrooge sees the following horrific vision. The air was filled with phantoms, wandering hither and thither in restless haste, and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains, like Marley's ghost. Some few, they might be guilty governments, were linked together. None were free. Many had been personally known to Scrooge in their lives. He had been quite familiar with one old ghost in a white waistcoat, with a monstrous iron safe attached to its ankle, who cried piteously at being unable to assist a wretched woman with an infant, whom it saw below upon a doorstep. The misery with them all was clearly that they sought to interfere for good in human matters, and had lost the power forever. To me, this vision of a world of tortured spirits makes A Christmas Carol into a story much scarier than the horror movies released around Halloween. No wonder this scene is left out of most adaptations of Dickens' tale. Who wants to ponder such things at Christmas time? No one wishes to imagine themselves among such a tortured spectral host. It's far better to let Scrooge go through his journey with our smug belief that he deserves such a haunted morality lesson, and we do not. Yet the short days and the long cold nights around the winter solstice are made for self-reflection. And at such times, nagging doubts about our superiority to Scrooge have a way of sneaking into our minds. A recent article in the Smithsonian describes how our pagan ancestors held perhaps a more honest understanding about how the long nights around solstice make for a time ripe with spirits. The lights from Yule logs were meant to keep such spirits at bay. One religious studies professor notes, "The darkest day of the year was seen by many as a time when the dead would have particularly good access to the living." Who knows what warnings the dead might bear to those of us still alive? Perhaps 2020 is an especially good time for us to take note of the ghostly aspects of Christmas time. Our isolation and fear cannot entirely be banished by the trappings of the Christmas season. When the glow from the screens of our phones, tablets, and TVs subsides, we are left to ponder our lives, our deaths, and what they all mean, if anything. I don't believe in ghosts, but I believe many people, myself included, often live as if they were neither alive nor dead. The ghastly vision Scrooge saw outside his window speaks not to our afterlife, but the capital L life we are missing out on in our present existence. Frederick Buechner has this to say about ghosts in his classic book, Whistling in the Dark. He writes, "What keeps ghosts going seems to be usually some ancient tragedy they can't cut loose from, or some dramatic event they are perpetually reenacting, or some unfinished business they never seem able to resolve. They are so shadowy that it's hard to believe they exist. Some of the more spectacular hauntings suggest they may have grave doubts on the subject themselves. It seems to be that if they can only make somebody's hair stand on end, possibly their own even, it helps convince them they aren't just figments of their own imagination. They prefer deserted places because they feel deserted. They disappear at cockcrow because the idea of seeing themselves or being seen for what they truly are scares the daylights out of them. If you want to see one, take a look in the mirror someday. when you yourself are feeling particularly haggard and shadowy. It turns out we aren't as different from Scrooge as we like to think. Our misplaced priorities and misspent lives sneak into our awareness on these long, dark nights around Christmas. This is the reason we light candles and remind one another of the anti-ghost story, the one about God's light entering the world to save us from our ghost-like selves. As we read the promises of the prophets once more, promises given millennia ago, but still available to us now, we realize, along with Scrooge, a different sort of life is possible here and now. As the prophet said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." I hope, on these dark nights of winter, that your ghosts are banished, that the light of love gives you capital L life this season.